Let us read together. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 up to 11. I'll read from the New International Version, the NIV. And then I will read from verse 1. It says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is not trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." Verse 4. "Though I myself, I have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider them lost for the sake of Christ." Verse 8. "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead." So here Paul is giving in a comparison between his past gains and his present worth of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He was saying this to the Christians in Philippi. The Christians in Philippi were faced by false teachers who were teaching them to say, all of this that Paul was preaching to you is really true and it is really good, but you have to add in one more thing for you to make sure that your salvation is certain. So one of the things that they were adding to the message of grace was to say you also need to be circumcised. If you're not circumcised, then you're not truly Christian. You need to add circumcision for you to be fully saved. These were the Jewish Christians who were telling these to the Gentile converts to say you have to truly be, for you to truly be a Christian, you need to add the Mosaic law, particularly the circumcision. And this contradicted the message that Paul was preaching to the church in Philippi and in all the Bible that Paul preached. As Paul preached the message of grace to say you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. So that is why Paul uses the harsh words to say, be careful of these dogs. He was calling these people these dogs because dogs are unclean. And these people were bringing in darkness to the church. They were not being true to what the true gospel calls us to do. And then the term dogs was used to describe the Greek, the Gentiles. Because they were not Jewish. So people in turn mocked them to say, you are dogs. And then Paul flips it to say, oh, you called them dogs, now you are dogs because you are unclean. So he used that term to call them because they were bringing in evil in the church. And he called them evildoers. He said it as they were. Instead of doing good, they were distorting the gospel and leading people away from Christ. They were leading people away from the true gospel. And these were mutilators of the skin. Of the flesh, as they urged people who were already odd to say you should go and be circumcised for you to fully be served, for you to have full salvation. And Paul describes true salvation to be classified for true believers, whether you are Gentile, whether you are Jew. He says that true worship is the one that is done in the worship of God, and it cannot be added unto. You cannot add unto anything to worship in truth. It's just by trusting in Jesus Christ, and salvation is through by faith is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. You cannot add anything. And he also says that true worship, true worshipers and true circumcision are the ones who boast in Jesus Christ alone, not in human achievement. Because these people trusted their achievements in the past to say, we were born in this tribe, we were born, we were circumcised at this number of days, at 8 days when we were just born. And these people put confidence in their human and fleshly achievements. Paul's main point is salvation is through Christ alone, and not religious rituals, and no religious ritual can save you. It is by Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. This may sound true to most of us nowadays, as many of us grew up in communities whereby we were taught to say, if you want to be saved, you have to observe certain days of prayer. You have to observe certain types of foods that you eat. If you eat this kind of food, then you're not truly saved. If you don't dress a certain way, then you're not saved. If you listen to that kind of music, that is not Christian music. Christian music has to sound like this. And if you don't worship in this way, you're not saved. You see, all the Old Testament commandments that were given to the people then were essential to their daily lives as well, to their daily living as well. Many of them, like the Ten Commandments, were reaffirmed in the New Testament, and we don't rule out the commandments which were given to us. But we are not bound to observing the Old Testament laws to say, I have to do this for me to be saved. All of these other things are essential for our Christian living, but they don't assure our salvation in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says it better. It says, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are no longer under the law, but under grace. Paul teaches that Christians are not under the Mosaic law, but under grace, and that grace is through Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to reach the Father without having to observe all the strict laws that were given to us. God made it possible for us, through Jesus Christ, to ably meet him and to have a personal relationship with him. There's nobody who has to go who has to come between us and God except Jesus Christ. We reach God through Jesus Christ alone, and we don't trust any special kind of people to reach God through them. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, all that you need to do is to first accept him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, for you to have access, full access to God. Many times we as people get asked to say, how do I know that I'm growing as a Christian? How do I know that I'm growing deeper in the faith? This that you are doing here, it is a step into growing deeper in our faith. As I was talking with one of my friends last Monday to say, he was asking me, like, Tia, what do you think it is when you say, oh, you are growing in faith? And as we talked, we got to the revelation to say, oh, we grow in Christ when we are seeking to do more of his things, when we are seeking to do more of his way, of his works, as he calls us to do as Christians. When we have the hunger to grow more in Christ, that's when we even grow more in Christ, because we seek the things of Christ and not things of the world. We need to live just as Jesus Christ calls us, for us to grow. We grow by doing the things. We grow by doing ministry as Jesus Christ calls us. We grow by sharing the faith with other people. As we are sharpening other people, we get to be sharpened as well. When you're teaching somebody else, you get to grow as well. Because we cannot remain babies in the faith. We need to keep on growing as well. As I said earlier today, our ending really matters. Our ending really matters. Like, how would the end of this life for you look like? How would your destination look like? Or let me ask this question in a different way. What will you have to show for when you come to the end of this life and you're standing before Jesus Christ? Are you going to show for the things that you pushed in this life, the hustle that you put in for to get more things in this world? Are you going to show for a good job? Are you going to show for a good college degree? Or maybe a winning record? Or you say, I was the CEO of this company. I was the president of this company. If that is all that you have to show for at the end of this life, then you're not truly living. We all want to one day to stand before the master and to get this message to say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have done well in this race." But is it something that at the end of this life, the master is going to say to most of us? In Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8, Paul reflects on his past achievements, declaring that he now considers them as a loss in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. He was trying to emphasize on the transforming power of faith by grace and not of works as it was being presented by the church to the church in Philippi by these evildoers. Paul did not count his past achievements as a ticket into salvation, as a ticket into getting to heaven. He considered them all loss. All that he was focused on was to know, all that he was focused on was to know Jesus Christ and to grow in him. The question will still remain to say, where will you be when you get where you're going? Where will you be when you get where you're going? What are you chasing in this life? How does your daily life look like? How does your what kind of things do you push in this life? Is it beneficial to the kingdom of God? And this is something that we need to seriously focus on. Like, what am I living for? Just like Paul focused on this and saw how all the things that he gained in the past were trash compared to knowing Jesus Christ. We also need to evaluate our lives. As when Paul did this, his life turned completely, and he only lived for God and cared that the only thing that mattered was to live for God. What he considered crucial by then became meaningless in comparison to the joy of knowing Jesus. Let us together look at how Paul arrived at this life-changing realization through this passage as we go through the verses. And I encourage you to have that question in mind to say, where will you be when you get where you're going? We see here at the beginning of the passage, as Paul is giving in a strong message, as Paul describes these heretical Jews to say, he's describing them by using some harsh words as dogs. These were wild, dangerous creatures and not pets and not pet dogs. He meant street dogs. He called them evildoers. He called them mutilators because they were so dangerous. And these people were very dangerous to the community as they had a negative influence and they were spreading harm, they were spreading the heresy, which was error in the church. These were passionate people who seemed to be very passionate, but they were wrongly in all their beliefs. And they led people astray as they were burdening old people already with the burden to say you have to be circumcised as an old person. But we see how Paul crushes this by explaining that true believers are already circumcised in their hearts through faith in Jesus. True believers are those who are circumcised in their hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no need for any physical circumcision for you to be fully served, for you to be fully Christian. Many people look at, I belong to this kind of church, so my salvation is sure. I do these kind of things, so my salvation is sure. No salvation is sure if you don't have Jesus Christ. If it is not based on Jesus Christ, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your salvation is not sure, as Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Many people, as I've said, live on a Christ plus kind of mentality to say, "Oh, I belong to this church, and what we believe in this church is that Christ is not enough on himself, but we need to add to baptism. We also need to add to church membership. You need to be strict on church membership. And you need to be strict on good deeds." All these things don't add up to the equation of true salvation. You don't have to trust your religion. It can't offer salvation. You don't have to rely on faith of your parents, not your faith, but your faith of your parents, as that cannot offer salvation. You don't have to believe in all these Christian religion or rituals, they don't offer salvation. As much as baptism, church membership are all valuable in our own right as a church, none of them can save you if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We see from the same passage as Paul is giving us the misplaced confidence that he had before that, to say, as he gave his personal illustration for his life, where Paul is saying, he's giving us this number of spiritual achievements, which before then he had achieved. And we see him saying, telling us how he was circumcised on the eighth day, which was a sign of being a true Jew through the law of birth and through the Mosaic law. He said he was from the people of Israel, which was as he was a member of God's chosen people, and he was from a tribe of Benjamin, as Benjamin was one of the two tribes that remained loyal to the house of David after the kingdom split. So, being from a tribe of Benjamin, it was a point of pride that I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Again, if that guaranteed for him to be saved, he would have been saved. And also, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, which meant he was fully committed to the Jewish culture, not a Greek-influenced type of Jew. And Paul was also a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were a strict religious sect that was committed to the observing of the law. And if this meant that his salvation was sure, then he would have been saved already. And Paul was so zealous to the point that he persecuted the church for God. He did works of God by persecuting the church. And if this was the ticket already for him to be saved, he would have been saved. And according to the law, Paul was blameless. He had observed the law from a young age. And from the law standards, he was blameless. Paul talks about his background, which was very impressive in, according to the Jewish traditions, but they hold no value in compared to the knowing of Jesus Christ. Paul is telling us to say all of these are no match to knowing Jesus Christ. And to know Jesus Christ, not just by name, but to know him deeply, to have a personal relationship with him. He considered all the gains that he had gained in this world as trash, to say all of this is not important. What is important is to know Jesus Christ and to know him personally and deeply. And Paul presents to us a new life by saying this. It's not that the things that Paul listed were all wrong, as I shared before. Most of them were morally right, of course, except for the persecution of the church. But although all of these were morally right, he called them unnecessary. He called them that these things cannot serve you. Even though if you put pride in them, to say, "These I do this and I was born in this heritage, I have this heritage, we are from this country," all of that cannot save us. As Paul did a new accounting of his life, he saw that at the end of it, all those advantages didn't matter in the eyes of God. And that in the same way, although he so much kept them, they so much kept him as well from knowing God. Paul expresses the goal of his life twice in these verses. He says in verse 9, "that I may be found in him." He wants to live in such a way that when the end comes, as I asked before, that how will your ending look like? He wants to be found in him. He wants to be found by God in Christ. It's not enough for us to be near God or near Christ. It's not for us. It's not enough for us just to know him by head knowledge. We always need to find the true salvation. And true salvation means to be in Christ, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus instead. That's what Paul means in verse 9 when he speaks of having righteousness that comes from God by faith. To be in Christ means that God God takes the righteousness of Christ and puts it in you. And when God is seeing you, he sees the righteousness of Christ and not your own righteousness, because our own righteousness cannot equate for us to be truly saved. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that brings us back to the question that I asked as well. How will our ending be? how will our 30 years of being on this this earth look like? How will our 40 years look like? Or maybe some will be lucky enough to live up to 100. But even after you live those 100 years plus, how will those 100 years look like when you, with all the things that you were doing on earth? Were you chasing things of God, or were you chasing things of the world? But the problem is that many people, we focus so much on the things that, what am I gaining in this world? How much am I gaining in this world? How am I improving in my businesses? How am I improving in, how am I doing better than those other people? We focus on the things of the world, and we don't focus on the things of God. Mark 8 verse 36 says it better. It says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Even if we profit all the things that we want to profit, all the things that we want, that we keep on chasing, of how much profit will it be compared to knowing Jesus Christ? One day, many of us will, I would say one day we'll die. And as we are lowered down in that graveyard, and maybe put, as people put a tombstone on our grave, what would they write on the on that tombstone? If they are to write the truth and the truth only, what are they going to write on that tombstone? Are they going to write to say he spent most of his life chasing useless things? Or would they write he did well and he did more for Christ? He worked for Christ. How will our ending look like? As we are finishing, I would like to ask the worship team to come up front. But I would like to ask us this question. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him on a personal level? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you given up your past life? Have you done an evaluation of your previous life and what you and how you're living now? Is it worth than knowing Christ? We need to look deep in how we're living. And if we haven't received Jesus Christ, we need to receive Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Maybe you may not know how to do this. There'll be prayer counselors around the church. You can meet them and ask them that I would like to have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How do I attain this personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I will encourage you to receive Jesus Christ, because all these things that we are chasing in this life will one day not matter. What will matter is, did you receive Jesus Christ? Did you live for him? Did you live as he commanded you to live? Let us make a good choice in this life. Amen.